Jordan, and this is Yes But Why Podcast. Yeah.
Ralph, Dave, and etc.
Oh, okay. You're etc.
Yeah. Yeah. Ralph and Dave are brothers. Dave is Jewish. He converted. And what else? Oh, they're idiots.
So wait, Ralph and Dave are brothers. Dave is Jewish. Ralph is not.
Well, in the it's a long form setup. And Ralph and Dave took us about 8 months to come up with a format. Their actual names are Joe and Todd. Joe is Ralph and Todd is Dave. Todd is actually Jewish in real life. And we just started playing around with that, and we decided that since they're brothers, Dave is Jewish. Because he converted.
Oh, so is there like a narrative element to your shows?
Oh, yeah. We, it's almost episodic. We do anywhere from about 35 minutes. We've gone about an hour before, because we're long form. There is no long form where I'm from. I study the Second City. And then I go to Chicago as much as I can. Joe went with me about 2 years ago, and we saw an IO show, Shakespeare Improv, or Improvised. And he was like, man, I really want to try this. So we were doing a play in town, Young Frankenstein, and Todd, who actually showed up to the audition by accident because he thought it was a different audition. he was cast, and so we got together, and we started playing around, and we just kind of came up with this format of we get some sort of crazy suggestion from the audience, and then we just kind of see how much trouble they can get into, the two of them as brothers getting in and out of trouble, and then I come in and fill in all the other characters along the journey.
Oh, wow. You're everybody else?
Yep.
Wow. Does that feel like you have a heavier burden, or is it just different?
That's what I like to do. I took I took a solo class with Andy Imager several years ago, and I've done because there are no improv troupes where I'm from, so I did a couple of solo shows, and it was a lot of fun. And this way I get to kind of do a solo show, but I get to have other guys with me so I can play off of them a little bit more. To me, it's a great setup. It's a dream setup.
You took a solo class where?
At Second City?
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I was going to be like, wait, you just said there's no one teaching this. So tell me about you. Where do you live? You live in Indiana?
I live in Indiana on the very southern tip. I actually live, it doesn't have a post office, but I live in Paradise, Indiana.
Nice.
My address says Newburgh, which is just, it's about 3 to 5 minutes outside of Evansville. So my line is I have to go through Evil to get to Paradise. when I was taking the classes, I would drive up to Chicago, take a 3-hour class, and then drive back because I had a job and stuff that I had to get back to.
How long is the drive?
Also, about 5.5-6 hours.
What? I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm either five and a half hours.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. There's nothing around here. I took the Second City intro class like right before the conservatory for a year, so I drove up to Chicago once a week for a year to get through that program.
Wow. I've known a few heavy traveler improvisers like you. I'm in Austin, Texas, and there was a gentleman who would drive up from Brownsville, which is, I want to say, like 8 hours or something. And it was,
oh,
he
wow.
would drive up for an like a end of the week class and then just stay the weekend and drive back. So we had like a Thursday or a Friday night class, and he was like, and then he'd hang out with friends and then drive back. How do you like, you said you had another job, like when, like, so you have to drive 5 hours, then you have to take a 3-hour course, which presumably starts around 7-ish. So what job can you leave at 2 p.m.?
At the store, at the time I was doing that, I worked at a record store, which is the best slacker job ever. Like back when they sold CDs and cassettes. Kind of show my age there. The manager was pretty easygoing. So during that time, I'll run through my schedule, my weekly schedule at that time. I was affiliated with a local theater company. They call themselves TNT. It was totally new theater. These two guys from New York, super cool guys. They did a lot of shows for kids, but they needed adult characters to fill in the adult parts. And so for that year, I was also doing shows with them. So Monday, I would go to work. My job would let me have 3 days off. So Tuesday, I would drive up to Valparaiso, Indiana. My cousin lived up there. Wednesday, I would get up, take a train into Chicago, take the class, take a train back to Valpo on Wednesday, get up Thursday, drive back to Evansville and either go to a rehearsal or work. Friday, I would get up, go to work in a rehearsal or a performance. Saturday, I would work. Sunday, I would work. And then Monday started it all over again.
Oh, my God. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because you just, I don't know exactly how old you are, but you did quote, you did say that you aged yourself. So my question is this, were you in your 20s when you did this?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I was 20 and dumb.
Yeah, I've done that stuff too. not to say that I haven't done a lot of weird road trips for theater throughout. I just turned 40 this year, so I'll still do it. I'm actually, you know, looking into doing a bit more traveling myself, and I was like, am I ready to do this? This is crazy. I was like, do it. Man, that's super wild. So how did you even get into improv if it was nowhere around you? Are you from the same area that you live in now, or like from Indiana?
Yeah, no, originally? I pretty much live in the same house I grew up in. That's another interesting story. I'm full of stories, so I apologize in advance.
For you telling stories on my podcast? How dare you be an interesting guest? This is ridiculous.
How dare I?
Come on.
My sophomore year of high school, I had to take a speech class, and it terrified me. I was like, I got to talk in front of people. This is not, no. There was a substitute for the first part of the semester because the teacher was on maternity leave. So I wasn't up and energetic and stuff. And so I was horrible in that class. Up until around halfway through the semester, she came back, and that speech teacher also happened to be the drama teacher. We had a drama class. I went to Castle High School in Newburgh, and she came back, and I was failing that class miserably. And the last project for her semester was to do part of it was to be videotaped old VHS recordings, big old camera about the size of a Geo Metro, pretty much, and some of it had to be done live in class. So we got in a group, and our thing was going to be like an SNL type show, just skits and stuff. And I did that, and I did a couple characters, and then in class,
Before you glaze over the SNL thing, what era of SNL was it? I'm really trying to age you now.
Well, yeah, this is the Dana Carvey, Mike Myers, the early 90s.
Yeah. Well, just because, like, I did almost exactly the same thing. Like, you're saying, like, you're in a speech class and they told you to do a project and you were like, let's do an SNL type thing. And I was like, oh, my God, I did that, too. Except for I did it in religion class. And nice. I did an SNL bit on the Ten Commandments and we all did characters. And it was around... right? They were not happy. They were like, you're irreverent. And I was like, yeah, that's going to happen. The best part, too, about growing up is I would go home and tell my mom real sad about how I'd gotten in trouble, and she'd laugh. She'd laugh out loud and go, okay, that sounds fun. So I was like, okay, we're all right. It's not terrible. I was like, that the anger of my religion teacher was not reflecting normal people. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, but my era was like Adam Sandler, like the beginning of right before Will Ferrell, like there was a blonde girl whose name I don't remember. I'm sorry, you were wonderful. I think about you all the time. She did Amy Buttafuoco. Remember when that happened?
Oh, yeah.
And she did a character where she like flipped her hair a lot and she had big nostrils. Yeah. I loved her and I wanted to be her. And then, I mean, I guess I kind of am now. I don't know who she is. You know, nobody knows who I am, so we're the same. But yeah, I was just thinking, like, which SNL are you, like, trying to do, you know? Because everyone's trying to, like, be like the ones that are happening. So, fun. Cool. All right. Mike Myers, digging it. Super fun. Keep going with your story.
So, I had to do, like, one of their, like, faux commercials. And my dad had this old brown bathrobe. It looked like a samurai robe. From the time I was a kid, I looked at this robe like, oh, that'd be a cool samurai robe. And my hair was about an inch below my ears. And so I took a ponytail holder and I gave myself a Pebbles ponytail on top of my head. And I took two butter knives, and I don't remember the whole thing, but it was something to the extent of you have trouble slice vegetable, you have trouble slice ice, I have for you amazing slice them, dice them, dice them, dice. And I went on this whole tangent, and I got to the very end. I was like, how much do you think something like this cost? 99 95? No. And I went from 99 95 all the way down to 295, which took a while.
Yeah.
And the teacher was laughing at that point, which I thought, okay, well, I did something good for a change. So I got an A for that particular project. And at the end of the semester, she'll call you up. She'll tell you what your grade is. She goes, Mr. Kemp. Yes, ma'am. You are failing this speech class. I went, okay, I'm going to give you two options. Okay, you can either take speech again next semester. Well, I don't like that option. Or you can take my drama class next year. And I went, neither of those are options. Neither of those will do me any good. And so...
What did you want to be at that point?
At that point...
You know, what were your hopes and dreams?
At that point, I was toying around with being a doctor.
Oh, me too. Don't worry. Don't laugh. I also did the same. Yeah.
And well, I took a semester of Latin and then said, nope, a doctor I shall not be.
Oh, God. Do you need Latin to be a doctor? Oh, I guess you do. You're right.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. No. I might not be able to write legibly, but I ain't no doctor. So, I was like, well, I'll take your drama class. She's like, okay, you're going to pass with a D. So I went, no speech, yay. So I got into the drama class, and I took that for 2 years. That was my junior and senior year. At the end of your senior year, she always would say, okay, this is what you do really well at. This is what you kind of need to work on. And the last thing she told me was, your physical humor is great. You got really good timing, but your improv, you know, you never get up and do anything. If you want to do anything, you need to work on that. And I was like, okay. Because when it came to the improv games in high school, I sat back and was like, there's no way I can do that.
Sure.
Fast forward 2 years. I took a couple classes locally. And when I say an improv class, it wasn't really an improv class. It was an acting class that the instructor used improv games to kind of get stuff going. That teacher's name was Sherry Crawford. And Mrs. J, my high school drama teacher, kind of got me in the arena. Sherry Crawford kind of brought me out of my shell. She was just an amazing lady. I can't give her enough just awesomeness. So we did a scene one night in her class, and I went in and I did it how I thought it was supposed to be. And she said, no, stop. She goes, I can see that your body is not doing what it wants to do. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. Did you know that? And she goes, do it how you feel like Jerry Lewis would do it. And I went, really? So I redid the scene in this just bumbling, just trip over my feet. If I can take a pratfall, I'll take a pratfall. Just take pratfall. I mean, if I walk into like a door where there are two swinging doors, one opens the right, one opens the left, I'll open up the right door and walk into the left one just to get a reaction. I just do that for fun. And so she kind of taught me that I can be kind of creative. And then my cousin was living in Chicago at that time. And she kept telling me, oh, you got to check out Second City. And I was like, well, what is Second City? She's like, oh, they're great. They're funny. And they do a lot of improv. I was like, oh, well. So I went to visit her one time, and her husband took me to see a Second City show. And I was like, holy cow, this is insane. This is just awesome. And she goes, well, you know, if you want to take some classes there, you know, you could move up here and do that. And I was like, really? So the original plan was to move up there and live with her for a while. Unbeknownst to me, I had a pretty good anxiety issue, and I was kind of freaking out about the whole thing.
I like that you call it pretty good.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna die.
Sure.
excuse me. And so I drove back home, and I was just disappointed in myself. I was like, man, I started this, and man, this is horrible. Talking to my mom and dad, and they're like, you know, if you want to, you've got a job, you've got the money, drive up, take it, come back, and, you know, we'll support you, whatever. So then I spent a year driving back and forth to Chicago, trying to take heed of my high school drama teacher's words that I need to work on it. I figured if I'm going to work on it, I might as well work on it in one of the best places ever. So that's how I got introduced to improv.
Wow, what's Second City like? I've never taken a class there. I've heard about it, of course, but what's the vibe? What was the environment, the community?
Especially
since you didn't hang out there a lot.
Yeah, well, they thought it was the craziest thing ever. Like, they, you know, like you go around, you introduce yourself. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Evanston. I'm from, you know, Valpo. I'm from, you know, Lincoln. What is it? Lincoln, whatever. There's a Lincoln one up there. And they got to me and I said, oh, I'm from Evansville. And they went, you're from Evanston? I go, no, Evansville. Oh, is that out by? I went, no, it's down by the Ohio River. And they said, you mean on the southern part of Indiana? And I went, yeah. That's where I'm from. What are you doing here? I want to learn. And they were very, they were super cool. Like, one night I missed the train to get back to Valpo, and somebody was like, hey, just hop my car. You know, I'm going that way anyway. Super welcoming, super, super supportive. You know, they take the yes and mentality and just roll with it. You know, they're accepting of everybody. And it's just for me, excuse me, I work with kids, so I work in germ factories, so you have to excuse my cough.
Okay.
You know, I had never been on a big stage, so to speak. I had never been in an arena where tons of incredibly talented, creative people. That was a diesel driving by the way. Have you know, been. And I remember walking through the doors and just looking at the pictures and going, holy cow. Right. Holy cow. You know, these people stood, you know, Bill Murray stood in that space. Tina Fey had gone through at that time. You know, George Wendt, I mean, Ed Asner, I mean, all these guys, I'm going, oh, please just let me be a fifth of as good as they are. And it's just, it's an amazing, for lack of a better term, it's an amazing energy when you get a room full of people that are just, the creativity is just seeping through their pores. I mean, it's endless of the opportunities and the ideas and which way a scene will go. I mean, it'll start out going one way and then somebody would spring in a different way and it would just, everybody just followed. It was just insanely awesome.
That's so great. That's so awesome.
And then
super fun.
Oh yeah, it was. Oh yeah, you know, I spent most of my life just kind of riding the wave, and whenever I get done, something else comes up. I got done with Second City, and about 2 weeks later, a friend of mine said, "Hey, our guitar player quit. Would you want to play with us?" And I was thinking it would be like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months. And that led to about 8 years traveling every weekend to the East Coast, the South, the Midwest, playing music around the country.
Oh, yeah?
Which was, yeah. You know, I mean,
what was the name of the band?
I just kind of like followed
the band.
Well, the one name of the band was Olive Lucy. We were a...
Nice.
This is hard to say. We were a ska rock, sex funk swing band. I think the best, most people say, you sound like No Doubt. Well, okay, fine. Yeah, we'll take it. Basically because I had a female vocalist. had drums, bass, guitar, barry sax, trumpet, and trombone.
You know what's funny? It can be hard to be compared to somebody, especially when you don't feel like you're like that. But when people are comparing you to something, it means that you're... they like care enough to think about it. You know what I mean? I've definitely,
Well,
you know, cause like I've seen people give compliments and I've seen people after shows give empty compliments. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I've been there.
Where it's like, they're just being nice. Like they're a kind human who is like, excellent job performers. Like they're not, they didn't like what you did, you know?
But the comparison, even though it's like, no doubt,
we're not like that. It's still like, oh, but they thought of this popular band when they thought of you. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it was, you know, at the time, you know, you're trying to look out and be your own thing. And it's, you know, thinking back, yeah, that's a pretty good compliment.
This only comes with age. Like when I was younger, I was always like, shut up, don't do it. And I still get mad when people, go, oh, you really remind me of Melissa McCarthy. Three guesses what I look like. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And I take the compliment because she's lovely and what she does is great. And I should love to be associated with something similar to that. But of course, there's the voice in the back of my head that's like, shut up, I'm better. I'm like totally different. Like we're not the same. Just because we wear the same size pants doesn't mean. But, you know, but I'm trying to reconcile. So that's why I'm in this zen place trying to be all like, it's cool, man.
Totally.
There's an undercurrent of anger. I'm originally from Boston. I mean, I'm angry. But. So, like, when you finish, how long did you go to Second City? Did you just go to, like, a level one course for a couple months? Or did you take, like,
when I did it, there was level A through E. And I did all five levels.
Ah. And that took now, what, like a year and a half or something?
Yeah, that took about a year. And again, my original plan was because to get into the conservatory, you had to have a year of documented improv training at that time. I don't know how it is now. Mm-hmm. So I was going to take their their year of training, and then I was going to audition and try to get into the conservatory and, you know, go that route. Well, then my friend said, hey, let's play guitar. And I was like, oh, okay.
So you're totally distracted from your comedy path to be a guitar player.
Yeah, sort of.
I mean, hey, artist, both.
What I was doing was yes anding, actually, now to come to think about it. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to play guitar. Yes, and let's go. you know, and that, you know, the band stuff led to some cool things. That led to another band, and then the last band, which was, the last band was called 18 Wheels of Sin. we always talked about them in third person because we took on these personas of truckers in the band. See, there was Hank Binder, Uncle Jay, Cooter, and I was Larry T. Rucker. And we put on crepe hair mustaches and beards, and I wore a jumpsuit with band sneakers. I wore sheriff sunglasses and a Confederate flag bandana around my head. Mm-hmm. The truckers were from Irvine, Texas. And when they showed up, they brought the rock with them.
That's so crazy. I went to college in Irving, Texas.
Well, see, we actually did that to play a joke on a friend of ours that was in Olive Lucy. He lived in Bloomington, Indiana at the time, which is about 2.5-3 hours from here. Mm-hmm. And he was booking some bands at a local club. And we sent him this. This is back when instant messaging on American Online. We're 18 Wheels of Sand. We was wondering if we could get a show up in your part of the woods. And so we came up with fake articles, fake reviews. We've been in this magazine, we've been in that magazine. We just really like to get a show up there. And so then he starts IMing us as our real personas, and he's asking us questions about if we've ever heard this band. And we're like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man, they're great. They're, man, I mean, wow, yeah, you got to get them.
Terrible.
And then we had
terrible.
another friend that lived up there. We let him in on the idea, and he just started talking up this trucker band like they were just the best thing since – I say best thing since Betty White because she came before sliced bread.
No. I like it.
So we got this – we got him – he got us a show, and we dressed up as the truckers in Evansville and rode for 3 hours in character, actually pulled into a truck stop, got some really peculiar looks, got to the place we were playing, and he didn't know it was us until we set our equipment on stage, and then he said a few expletives to us, and then he laughed about it. So,
oh my
yeah, it was,
God.
It was a good time.
But he let you play.
I'm sorry?
He let you play?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he actually didn't figure it out until after about our first song. Oh. And then he came up to us. He came up. This is one of my best friends in the entire world. He came up to me and he looked at me and goes, you know, that other band, the other band is okay, but you guys totally need to do this. And I looked at him straight face. And the name of the other band was Five Star Theory. And I just looked at one of my best friends and said, well, sir, I thank you so much for that compliment. But I have no idea what a Five Star Theory is that a form of a Chrysler model car, something I haven't heard about yet. I appreciate the compliment, though. And he flipped me two birds and walked away. And
the audience
then he had
said, what's going on?
A couple other shows. Yeah, you know, so it was, you know, it was fun.
How many gigs did you perform as that group?
The trucker band played about 10 gigs locally and around. See, I think we went to... where did we go? We were in Evansville, Bloomington, Indianapolis, Owensboro, which is in Kentucky, a little ways down. And there's another one that I can't quite remember. But yeah, we would always show up. One time we actually played as both bands. We showed up as the truckers. played a set, got off stage, another band played, we took off our costumes, got back on stage and played as the other band. So
are they at least different styles?
Oh yes, oh yes, 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 completely. 18 Wheels of Sin is let's see. Take some Hank Williams.
It's like Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Oh. Yeah, throw in some definitely throw some Skynyrd in there. Some Black Sabbath. Some Willie Nelson. A lot of rockabilly. And that's pretty much what we were doing.
That's why I decided to move to Texas, is because I liked Lynyrd Skynyrd, even though they're not from here at all. But I was like, I'll be fine in Texas because I can listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd. I legit thought that at 18 when I like moved here for college. That was my Boston preconception of what it was like to live in Texas. I was like, no worries, I got this. It is not like that, just so you know. I mean, it's a little like that, but it's not like it everywhere.
Alrighty.
Man, that's fun that you're performing in these bands and then you're doing these characters, so you're like clearly theatrical, you know what I mean? But your friends were too, so that's cool. Like, have you done any musical improv?
I like to entertain people, not frighten them. And
you don't have to sing. You could be the guitar player that does musical improv. There's a great misconception that all musical improv just has to be a piano player and some singers, but that's untrue. I did a musical improv troupe a bunch of years ago. I loved it. It warms my heart every minute. It's called Water Park, and we're in Austin, right? So everyone plays guitar. Everyone in the band, I call it a band. Everyone in the band except for me played guitar. So there were five of us. And we just had a guitar on the side of the stage. And whenever we were moved to sing a song, one of them would pick up the guitar and we would just sing.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome.
You don't need an outside party and you don't need a piano player. Because both of those things, sometimes people are like, ugh, I don't want to deal with that. And we didn't want to deal with that. So we were like, wait. Everyone was like, wait, I play guitar. I was like, guys, I don't, but I have some tambourines. And they're like, bring them. So, like, that's that's what happened there. So I'm just saying you can do it, and you don't have to scare them with the singing if you don't want. You can be the guitar guy. You can be the sweet, sweet guitar guy with your riffs.
That I could probably do. That I might give a try now. Maybe one of Etcetera's next characters will be a guitar slinger. That's
You're welcome, cool. Ralph and Dave. What about sorry, I'm still tickled. Oh man, tell me. So you're doing all this music. How did you get back into performing improv? Especially because you've mentioned a couple times that the area where you still live doesn't really have much in the way of organized improv. Is there disorganized improv? Like, meaning, are there other troupes other than you that are doing the same self-taught situation in your area?
The only other improv troupe in town is the kids in the class that I teach.
Cool. Okay.
They call themselves Scared Scriptless. They came up, an 11-year-old came up with that name. I was like, why didn't I do it? I've been teaching the improv class for about 8 years now. As far as getting into, right about the end of the band era, I was like, maybe I'll go back to college. Because I had kind of dropped out. I wasn't ready for college when I first got out of high school.
Sure, I'm surprised you even decided to go to college at all. I mean, it's not entirely required.
Well, yeah, and you know, I did a great thing when I went back. I got a theater degree, which means I can act like I know what I'm doing.
So you wasted money like the rest of us. I love it. Okay, cool.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. I mean, I didn't have it. I might as well spend it. And so,
that's the American way.
Well, yeah, you know, I can't afford a Maserati, but I've got one in my driveway.
Oh, God, you went back to college. Where'd you go to college?
I went to the University of Southern Indiana. It was close. It was cheap. It was just, you know, at that time, there was no way to go to school without keeping a job. And so I was going to school. I was going to school full time, doing the theater department out there, working a full time job and a couple of part time jobs here and there. And along that route, one of the guys that used to know one of the band members that I was in at that point had decided to take some Second City classes himself. So he had gone through that, and then he came back and he's like, well, hey, let's start a troupe. Well, let me wait, back up. So there was a troupe in town. They were trying to get off. They're trying to get their, you know, trying to get off the ground. And, they contacted me, and I contacted my friend Dustin, who was the guy that was doing the Second City at that time. And this was probably 10 years ago. No, it's been 20 years ago. Man, I'm good with math. and I'm an actor. I'm not a mathematician.
Same.
I can make up an equation. I'm not going to promise that it works. We had a troupe for about 2 years. The problem with that troupe was there were two of us who had some training, and then there were six other people who just wanted to be funny. And,
oh, yeah.
I tell my kids, you know, it's not about being funny. It's about being honest. You know, just whatever situation you're in, react as the character would react. And, you know, something, if I use a lot of short form games in the class, the rules of the game are pretty much put the boundaries on where you can go. And when you get closer to the boundaries, that's kind of where the funny happens. And so, you know, push it as far as you can get it, but just react honestly to the situation and hopefully the funny will come. And, I don't know, about 5 or 6 months into that initial improv troupe, one of the people said, hey, you know what? Excuse me. We should start an improv school. We should do classes, and we could charge people, and we could do corporate gigs. And like, dude, we've had a show. Like, oh, no, we can, it's a way to make income. And I was like, you're losing me. So that kind of disintegrated. And,
did that person go on to start a theater of their own?
No, that person on to about 9 or 10 other part-time jobs.
Just because it's like, it seems, I've heard that plea so many times, people be like, let's just start our own theater. And now that I've been through a couple of theaters, like I've been in different communities at different theaters and watched how they worked and stuff like that. I'm like, no, I don't want to be in charge. Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah.
I will join your theater. I will give you money. I will pay for the classes. I will do the thing. I will get on stage. I'm not in charge. No, thank you. Like, I'm good at being in charge of plenty of things, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just so, the business of running a theater is not at all why we got into theater.
Oh no! I'm purely a performer. I if a director tells me to go jump off the stage, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I don't really care to deal with I do a lot of work for a local community theater, Evansville Civic Theater. I'm going to give them a plug.
Evansville Civic Theater.
Yeah, Evansville Civic Theater. Yep.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I'm friends with the director, and it is so hard to keep a theater going anymore. You know, I mean, people, if they want to see a Broadway show, they can get on YouTube and watch it. You know, there's a small, I'm not going to use the word theater community. There are people in town that enjoy going to see a live show, and they appreciate it, but it's hard to get that small group to support a season's worth of shows. You know, you have your season ticket holders, which are great. You do have a lot of, like, word-of-mouth people, like, oh, I heard the show is okay. all of that is like so super appreciated. But there's also the cost of running, you know, turning the lights on, keeping it heated, keeping it cooled. I know that several times within the last five years or so, the AC has gone out in the building. The heater has gone out in the building. Well, when you're, you know, trying to make enough money to cover rights and electricity to keep the doors open, when that AC goes out, well, we got to start scurrying. So I don't want, I mean, I will help out in any way I can, but I do not want to be responsible for whether or not someplace keeps their doors open.
Right. So after that group broke up because people had different views of where they wanted to go, what was the next thing?
Well, the next thing was kind of a dry spell as far as improv goes. I hadn't really done anything for a while. So
did you get involved in the community theater at that point or start teaching? Because you mentioned teaching.
I've been involved in the community theater for the last 20 years. You know, that's kind of where I'm not a professional actor by any stretch of the imagination. There's nothing professional about me, actually. But I enjoy getting... Well, I got that theater degree.
Exactly.
I can act like I'm a professional.
You paid for that.
Yes, I pay to make you believe me.
It's what bringer shows are, man. You pay people, you bring five friends so that you know, so you can get on stage. That's how they do it in New York.
Well, hey, I'm doing the New York lifestyle, and I didn't even know. Hey, yo,
yeah,
I'm doing it. I got it.
You're so New York.
You looking at me? Sorry, I had to put it in there.
Nice.
So in 2006, I took the solo class from Andy Ininger because I was like, there's nobody around here. I'm going to learn how to do this by myself. And if you ever dabble in solo, the solo kind of style, man, your brain will just go to places that you're like, no, I didn't even know that was inside. That's scary. You know, because all the rules kind of go out the window, because if you tell a character no, you already know why you said no. So the other character can play off of that, and you can just lead it down the way. I mean, you can have dream sequences, you can have time lapse. I mean, you can do that in any form of improv, but when it's totally up to you, and you're like, well, I've backed myself into a corner. Okay, well, I'm going to take a nap, and I'm going to wake up in a dream, and when I wake up, I'm going to be completely new. It helped me understand more of what improvisation is. And that was a 8-week course, 8-week class. And along that time, there was a studio in town called the D'Alto Studio of Performing Arts. And they did acting classes and dancing classes and singing classes for kids, you know, anywhere. I think they went down to like 3 years old on up. And they had I had spoken to them a couple of times about, you know, I do improv. I like it. You know, and then they approached me about 2007 or 2008. Has it been that long? Wow, I'm getting old. About doing an improv class for their studio. And so I started that. And the more I taught it, and this whole time I haven't been really performing any improv, which is, it kind of starts to be like, oh, I really want to. So I started teaching these kids.
Can you get the nerves again?
Well, you know, it was, I kept, you know, watching them doing it. And this is another reason why I don't think I could ever be a director. You know, I'm watching them doing it, and I'm like, I got a great one. Oh, it's like, you know, I've got some of the kids, some of them have gone on to college. I've got some kids right now that have been with me for 6 years. And they are rock stars. And the class got to be to where it was more of a troop than a class. And so I totally changed up the format of rather than coming in and going, okay, we're going to work on this today. We're going to do this today. They worked as a troop. You know, and every time they have a show, we go back and I say, okay, guys, what did you do well? You know, say this, and then I'll say, well, what did not work so well? Well, this, you know, and maybe we should have moved a little bit more. We should use the environment. Like, okay, so that's what we work on. You know, we the goal now is to get them to where when we have a talk back after a show, it's like, that was great. We just maybe we should work on our energy level, but yeah, we're getting there. That's the end goal. We're not quite there, but they're getting there. And so I'm teaching the class. And I'm like, man, I really, really, man, I'd really like to get out there again. And then, well, like I said, 2 years ago, Joe, Todd, and myself, and I was in a musical, Young Frankenstein. I didn't sing. I talk sang. Like I said, I like to entertain, not frighten people. we were all doing the show, and we just started talking. And Todd is actually from Chicago, so he's got the understanding and the language to understand, you know, if I say, you know, just, you know, enhance that, or you know, why are you doing that, you know, what would your character do in that situation, he just kind of goes with it. Mm-hmm. And then Joe, like I said, we watched Shakespeare Improvised. And his jaw just hit the floor. He's like, they did two acts? They did a first act and a second act? I was like, well, yeah, they set it up. And then they come back and they're like, we got to try that. And then we got back in town at the end of Young Frankenstein and started with a couple of people. And it's kind of like, yeah. And the three of us just kind of started playing around with format. You know, I think we first started with, because I love a group called Bassprov. These two guys sit in chairs with fishing poles with no fishing line, a cooler of beer, and they just go for 45 minutes. They get like a current event and then come out of subject, and then there's these two guys fishing, and they're, I love them. So I wanted something similar to that with reoccurring characters. So we tried, we were all theater geeks. So we're like, let's be in a dressing room. And, you know, we're all sitting at the mirror and we'll just wait. And then when we leave, we got to go be in a scene on the play that was ever happening. And then we'll come back. We did that and it was horrible. And then we tried, playing poker or blackjack, which failed miserably. And one day we got up and I'm like, let's just play. Let's just see what happens. And Ralph and Dave just kind of were born. And just for fun, I kept, you know, if they would, you know, mention a character, I would just become that character. And now the fun game that they like to play is, which dialect can Leo not do? I'm not great at a Russian dialect, but they love to bring in Russian characters. We've had a Russian drug lord, we had a Russian drug lord, a Russian, I think one was a pimp, one was a scientist.
If you want to do some research, no. There's a television show called The Americans where half the show is in Russian. So, you know, you can watch then it'll help.
Well,
it's about Russian spies, so it's also cool. It's not like I'm making you watch some terrible. It's not like I'm suggesting, like, and you're going to turn it on and be like, what is this? And it's like, well, it does help me with the accent. So, no, it's a good show.
No, I will check that out.
I'm terrible with accents myself. My husband makes fun of me all the time. When I start an accent, it morphs into other things and usually ends in Jamaican, which is terrible. I should never do Jamaican. It's not correct. It's not okay. But somehow every accent, Irish, British, Scottish, French, Swedish, all just fall slowly until all of a sudden I'm saying man, and it's terrible. I don't mean it. It just happens. They'd get me right away is all I'm saying. Ralph and David get me right away. So they like to mess with you.
Yeah, you know, and that's... That's part of the fun we have, the three of us, is trying to get each other into situations that are just ridiculous. the book Truth and Comedy, and, you know, and finding the game within the scene and all that. We play games throughout our shows. I love physical humor. Charlie Chaplin's my bro. Give it up, Charles.
And you put that on a t-shirt.
Oh yeah, totally. I'll do that and put it on Etsy.
It'll go just as intensely as those Che Guevara things.
Yeah, totally. I'll just get a little. I'll get the mustache and the hat.
And the hat.
Just give it up, Charles.
Right, man. I mean, hey. Might as well spread the word.
See, when you see that on Etsy in about 6 months, you're gonna go, I really didn't think he would do that.
Send me the link, I'm gonna be mad.
Okay. Now I gotta talk to my wife to see if I can have the money to start it.
You just need to go online and look up how to screen print at home. They probably have, you can make it out of a cardboard box these days. You can do anything. That's the best part.
Yeah,
about
you know, I will have a an Etsy shop formed from Pinterest.
You're so funny.
And I will market it on Instagram, and maybe I'll get some clicks on what's that one where you swipe left or right?
I don't know. I'm married.
What's
I got
called?
Married well, after Tinder. Yeah, yeah. I always tell people I got married before Tinder was invented, so I was saved. It's like, I don't know which one, right or left. Which one do I like? It's hard to know. I don't know. Is it political parties? What? That being said, I love this idea, and I'm glad we've gone down this weird rabbit hole of you starting an Etsy shop with Charlie Chaplin things, but just, like, legitimately artist to artist, let me give you a bit of advice. Look up how litigious the Charlie Chaplin, the people that own it, his image stuff, because, you don't want to get excited and you can't make a t-shirt because it turns out that, like, Susie Chaplin, the great-great-granddaughter, doesn't let his likeness be used, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's rights and stuff like that are crazy. I'm actually – see what
back to the why the business huge, of doing theater stuff and why the business of doing artistic stuff can get yucky and gross. The fact that I had to give you that piece of advice is like, ugh, I hate that I had to even say it.
Well, no, I'm kind of in the middle of trying to find rights because me and the boys and Ralph David, et cetera, want to do a live stage version of Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to be Bernie. I'm going to get on stage.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
And I actually found Terry. I'm horrible with names. Terry.
Yeah,
He played Bernie.
Yeah.
But actually,
Cruz.
I Facebook messaged him. No.
No.
Gil Kaiser. Kaiser. Terry Kaiser.
Yep.
I found him on Facebook and I sent him a message. And his assistant got back with me. I was like, hey, man, do you have any idea where I can find the rights to this script? Because it is nowhere to be found. And the last bit of information I had was the last studio to own it was MGM, but after that, I don't know. So I'm actually,
We
speak, I'm on the search to get rights, and it's a nightmare. It is just an absolute nightmare.
It really is. But, it really is. Wild.
And the
That's
kicker
so
of it is,
funny.
There's a group in Portland who actually, because I was doing some research, there was a group in Portland that actually did it. But I contacted them about how they got the rights to it, and then they stopped communicating with me.
Because they didn't have the rights.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
now it's called Weekend at Lenny's. That's what they're doing. It's different now. They changed their show. You're like, hey, what do you guys think about laws? And they're like, we're not friends anymore.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.